let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The Great Depression Mental Health draws from author Jacqueline Ivey's personal experience in clinical depression during her marriage to the late Mark Ivey III, doctor of pharmacy and medical doctor. While caring for her husband, whose health was steadily deteriorating, she could not accept the reality that he might succumb to death at an early age. Jacqueline is a Christian, retired teacher, mother, widow, and author of book of original poems and memoirs. She attended Florida A&M University in Tallahassee, Florida, graduated from Bethune-Cookman College, the present Bethune-Cookman University in Daytona Beach. She loves to travel, has traveled extensively, visiting many parts of North America, South America, the Far East of East Asia, Northeast Africa, and Western Europe. Jacqueline Ivey, author of The Great Depression, Mental Health, is our guest on This Week in America. Jacqueline, welcome to the program. Pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
This is a wonderful book that you've written, and it is helping so many people in reading reviews. It's very rewarding to see that this book is touching people in a very positive way. What inspired you to go back and to write this book, especially based on many of your circumstances?
Well, just as you just pointed out, I thought it could be very helpful to others. Today, we are finding that many people are suffering with mental illness, and I thought they might be able to recognize the signs if they saw them in print and know that they can get help. And there is help, and no one has to take his own life or her life simply because they are suffering from mental health issues. So that was the inspiration for writing this particular book.
How difficult was this for you to go back and to recount in great detail all of the experiences in your life that led up to dealing with these issues? Was it difficult going back?
Very difficult. I relived that experience all over again. It was the worst experience I'd ever had in my entire life. I'd lost my mother, and we were extremely close, but I didn't have the depression that I experienced with losing my husband. I think it was because I felt, as an only child, I've lost my mother, now I've lost my husband. Now, to whom can I turn when I have difficulties? And I want to express myself. And I want to ask questions. I was looking for another confidant.
Yeah, and it's interesting that journey that you talk about and where this all began. And all of this is in great detail in Jacqueline's book, The Great Depression, Mental Health. You'll find it at the publisher, bookstore.dorrancepublishing.com, the usual places, and a link by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk about the marriage, and you go into detail, and a young marriage, your husband is excited, he goes back and pursues college in pursuing a medical degree. Talk about those early days of the marriage and the responsibility that you had to hold the family together while your husband was in school.
That was really, really difficult because we married when we were quite young. I had lived at home all of those years until I went to college, so did he. And when we were married and now have a family, this was the first time that I would be living alone, so to speak, except for the children we had. I had asked my mother to come and spend a few nights. Of course, she had her own responsibilities to her husband and to her home. Nevertheless, I did ask her, and she said, no, you have to learn to do this on your own. So the first time that my husband would be leaving, the three of us, we had three sons, that was really difficult. I got up that morning to prepare his lunch because he had two friends that he would be meeting in Ocala, Florida. And they would leave Ocala and go directly to Nashville, Tennessee, to Meharry Medical School. I got up to prepare the lunch for him, and suddenly I felt very nauseous. And to the point that I couldn't finish it, I called my mother, who came immediately and did that for me. And then when I called my mother-in-law after he had left home and arrived there to be with his friends, I started to cry. And that was really difficult. My mother-in-law said, I don't know why he couldn't take you all with him, but she had to know. I was the only one who had a job. He had had one, but he had to quit that job to become a full-time medical student at Meharry. So that was really, really difficult. And being there with small children, I was, oh my gosh, it was the most difficult thing because I'd never lived before alone, as I'd said. And now I'm concerned about who's going to help me protect my children.
Yes.
Who's going to help protect me? And I was afraid of just about everything. So when I read the papers, when I saw on the news, I was frightened that this person is going to wind up at my house. That's the kind of thoughts I had, even though they were unrealistic. But those were my thoughts.
Yeah, during...
And so that was one of the things that started to drive me towards the depression. Of course, there were many things that would happen after that.
You know, it's interesting, during that time period, you mentioned it, you have the Sharon Tate situation, you have Jeffrey McDonald.
Yes.
And this is happening. You're there, a young mother alone with three children, and
yes,
you don't really think about the impact that has people in that situation. And that really weighed on your mind, didn't it? You're thinking, this could be me.
Yes, it did. Yes. That was most difficult. And I had that thought that this kind of thing can happen near me. Or maybe what if this person wants to escape? I always had the feeling that everybody was going to wind up at my doorstep. That's how ridiculous it was at that time, but I was extremely young.
And concerned, and we all, I think, go through that, where we find our mind wandering and thinking about,
yes,
what if we're in that situation. Not rational, but that's where the mind will go from
exactly,
time to time. We're talking with Jacqueline Ivey on the program, Ivey. The book is The Great Depression, Mental Health, the book available wherever books are sold. The publisher is Dorrance Publishing. You go to their website, bookstore.dorrancepublishing.com. Can order the book there as well. Chapter one of the book is The Great Depression, Setting the Stage. Talk about setting the stage, and I'm sort of interested in how this works. It's not like all of a sudden you find yourself depressed. This was really, as you look back, what building up over time, wasn't it?
Yes, that's what it was. Yes. It started, I hadn't realized it would go to the extent that it did. As I mentioned before, I got nauseous. I had no reason to be. It was my nerves. I was upset that my husband was leaving. We'd never been separated for any length of time, and he wouldn't be returning to be with us until Christmas, and that was a really long time. And then he would have been coming back in the summer to get the three of us, and then we would all be together once again. But that was really, really difficult, spending those nights alone and,
oh, yes,
wondering if someone is going to try to break into a house and someone will be in there when I come home in the dark after having picked up my son from my mother's. It was really, really difficult. Over a period of time, he had to leave us. When we were in Nashville, he had to leave us because they had a rotation. Those students would go to Alabama, Tuskegee, Alabama, and they had a rotation there, so they would stay there 6 weeks. So the boys and I were at home again in Nashville alone. And I remember going, I didn't write this in the book, but I remember what really deepened my anxiety was we had gone before my husband left to see The Godfather. I woke up and I was sure a dead horse's head was on the foot
oh,
of my
yes,
bed.
Yes.
Yes. And then when we were in Akron, Ohio, he had to go to Mound Bayou, Mississippi, and he was down there a semester, and that too was difficult. So I cried quite a bit. I started to have palpitations. My heart was just beating so rapidly. And then I was having chest pains. And so I went to see a doctor there, and he diagnosed me with anxiety. I was put on medication, and it was too strong because after having taken it that night, I still was not in a position to be my full self, because in the afternoon when school was over, I was stumbling through the door. The medication was just that strong.
Oh, yes.
When I talked with my husband, he said, well, take a half one. So I took a half one on a Saturday, which he had advised me to do. I did, and I didn't wake up until about 12. I've got three sons. They've got to have breakfast.
Yes.
Yes. And I need to take care of them. So he decided, tell the doctor, you can't take that. So I did. He put me on something lighter, which was the same effect. So we decided I can't take that at all. So I dealt with it the best way I could.
This is all in Jacqueline's story, The Great Depression, Mental Health. Jacqueline Ivey, our guest on the program, goes through all of this in detail, and you can see, and you can look at what Jacqueline went through and relate it to incidences in your life that you might have gone through and reacted the same way, where things were building up anxiety, those type of issues. You talk about the long journey to a Great Depression. Talk about the time you spent with your husband, all of the medical issues he had, and the final moments you had to spend with him.
Oh, gosh, were those difficult. I saw that a number of things were happening with him. He started to have a mini stroke. He hadn't realized that he had it. One of the nurses with whom he was working, delivering a baby, realized one of his hands was larger than the other. And he realized then that he had a TIA, which is a mini stroke.
Yes.
And then it progressed from there. That was like a precursor to an infarction, which he had later, and he was incapacitated. And, of course, my son, one of their sons, and I had to go to the office and clean out his office. And he was suffering prior to that with a problem with his throat, acid reflux.
Oh, yes.
And as many doctors are, they're afraid of what they're going to be told because they already know, but they don't want to face it. He didn't go to the doctor, so I decided it's time for me to step in and see what I can do. So I got off from school, took him to the doctor. He had an endoscopy. We discovered he had acid reflux, and now he had waited so long, it was now cancerous. He was to go to Tampa to have surgery, we thought. He listened to what the doctor said. He probably already knew. And he sounded as though he was agreeing. And then when we got downstairs and got into our car, he said, I'm not letting that doctor operate on me. He's not going to put my stomach in my chest. And so he said, I'll just go ahead and go with the radiation and the chemo. So that's what he did. He got relief for almost a year, and then we saw a recurrence of it. Then he had another stroke. Eventually, he went into the hospital, and he started coughing first, which had been a pattern over a period of time. And this time, he was coughing up pure blood. And his beautifully white T-shirt was crimson red. Oh. It was filled and soaked in blood. He went to the hospital. He was put on a G-tube. In the meantime, I was going through difficult things. And that's when I really got to the point that I couldn't handle it anymore. I was at school. One of the teachers said, "Mrs. Ivy, you don't look too good." I said, "I don't feel well either." I went back to my classroom after lunch, and I called the office and said, "I can't do this anymore. I have to go home." I went home. I was nauseous again. When my husband came home, I had been too weak to close the draperies or lock up the house properly. I was lying in bed. He said, "What's wrong?" And I was so sick that I was just lying there. And it got to the point that I couldn't do anything for myself. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I couldn't take a bath. I couldn't brush my hair. I couldn't brush my teeth. I just was lying there in bed, constantly crying. And I've never gone through anything like that before. And I promise I never want to go through that again. I didn't want to take my life, but I just felt that I had no life. When I went to the window and looked out, I could hear the birds and I could see the sun. I could hear the children at play and I heard the cars as they passed by my house. But it was a dark, dark day. And that went on for several weeks. And it was a hole that I couldn't get out of. And I kept trying to claw my way out, but I fell back in. And that was the time I knew that I could not live with my husband. That's what I thought. But then when I saw the doctor, I was seeing a psychiatrist. I was put on medication. I was counseled. And with that combination, I was able to start to read and listen to Christian broadcasting. And that is what started to make the big difference. I started learning scripture, memorizing God's promises, and that eventually brought me out of that. But it was the worst experience I have ever had in my life.
And Jacqueline shares that very honestly, candidly in her book, The Great Depression, Mental Health. Time is going by so quickly. The final chapters, the return of the cancer you talk about, the final hours as husband and wife, and his funeral, which you described, the long goodbye. How did you get through, and we've only got a few minutes, but how did you get through all of that? I would think that would be indescribable in terms of the agony that you're going through.
Yes, the reason it was really, really difficult, we were having one funeral here because this is where my husband had practiced medicine for the last 20 years in Lakeland, Florida. And my mother-in-law, who lived in Ocala, wanted to have a funeral there. And I thought, if I can get through one, I've done well. Now she wants to have a second one.
Yes.
So it was really, really difficult. So we had two funerals. Then after we had the first one here, we had to drive up to Ocala and have a second one. So I had to go through that twice.
Just remarkable what you had to go through in the end. And you finish the book in talking, you've got poetry there, expressing your feelings. Tell me just a minute or two here. How are the poems, they sort of tie everything together, don't they? They reflect on the faith and how you got through this.
Yes, and there's one that I find a little bit humorous now, but it wasn't at the time. I had written a poem about him going away. Well, each time he had gone away, he'd always come back home. I remember when he went to take the board for pharmacy, he came back home, but he was gone for several days. When he was going to medical school, he went there, and then he came back. This time, when he passed away, he didn't come back. And for some reason, I could understand that, so I kept having dreams that he was supposed to come back, but he didn't show up, ironically. And humorously now, I laugh when I think about he found someone else. It's another woman and his wife in his life, which was never the truth. But those are the dreams that I was having. They were more like nightmares.
Yes. Well, in the book, yes. It concludes with the poetry. It's so well done. I will encourage you to read the book. I wish we had several hours to go into the full story and what Jacqueline went through and how she did get through it. The Great Depression, Mental Health is the name of the book. You can find it at bookstore.dorrancepublishing.com. Just remember Dorrance Publishing. You can track it down there wherever you buy books. Jacqueline Ivey, I-V-E-Y is the author's name. I'd like to thank KingPagesPress.com for arranging our conversation to talk about the book and to help other people. Jacqueline, it's been, oh, and I'll mention your other book, too, Book of Original Poems and Memoirs. I want to mention that because that's beautifully done as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and thank you for sharing your story here. It was difficult, I'm sure, to recall it, to write about it. Now you're recalling it to talk about it. You did this so well, and it's so relatable. As we all, maybe not exact circumstances, but go through circumstances like that, and we found that faith was really the anchor that got you through all of this.
Exactly, yes, and it works even today.
Well, that is so good to hear. It sounds like you are doing well. The book is, you can be very proud of yourself for what you've done with the book and helping
Thank
other people.
You.
The takeaway from the book is remarkable and will make a difference, a positive one in people's lives. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Rick. I appreciate it.
It has been our pleasure. Jacqueline Ivey is the name of the author. The book is called The Great Depression, Mental Health. You'll find it at bookstore.dorrancepublishing.com, the usual places, and a link on our website. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.